Don't shoot the messenger, unless you're an Israeli soldier. In that case, you're seemingly okay with shooting a reporter who's clearly identifiable as a journalist and poses no threat. Shireen Abu Akleh is the latest reporter to be killed by the Israeli military, which has a long history of targeting journalists and news outlets, particularly Al Jazeera. Shireen, a veteran reporter who spent her life covering events in occupied Palestine, was among a group of journalists documenting what was happening in Jenin early on Wednesday. According to eyewitnesses and video footage, she was wearing a safety vest and helmet, both of which clearly identified her as a member of the press. Despite this, or maybe because of it, Shireen was shot and killed.
We were going to film the Israeli army operation, and suddenly they shot us without asking us to leave or stop filming. The first bullet hit me, and the second bullet hit Shireen. They killed her in cold blood because they are killers and specialize in killing only Palestinian people.
So they claimed that some Palestinian militants were there.
We had no resistance, and there was no Palestinian military resistance at all at the scene.
Journalist Ali Samoudi was also shot and injured in the attack.
There was no exchange of fire, so there is no possibility whatsoever that a Palestinian have shot Shireen Abu Akleh. The Israeli army always uses these excuses to cover up the crimes they are committing against Palestinians, including Palestinian journalists.
According to rights groups, Israel has killed 50 journalists since 2000 and injured more than 144 in the past 4 years alone.
Inhar al-Burj. Inhar al-Burj. Inhar al-Burj.
This is also not the first time Israel has intentionally targeted Al Jazeera. Last year, the network's office in Gaza was bombed to rubble, while journalist Javar al-Bideri was assaulted by Israeli forces whilst reporting on Israel's ethnic cleansing of Arab residents in occupied East Jerusalem's Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. Israeli authorities say they've launched an investigation, but human rights groups say they have little faith in Israeli justice, particularly with renowned organizations like Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International accusing Israel of implementing a system of apartheid.
There are human rights organizations, for example, like Beit Salem, an Israeli human rights organization, that decided a long time ago that they are no longer going to even interact with the complaint system within the Israeli army. Because it is not serious, it doesn't find Israeli soldiers guilty.
Qatar's foreign ministry, whose country hosts the Al Jazeera network, issued a statement, with senior diplomat Lulwa Al-Khatir demanding an end to what she called state-sponsored Israeli terrorism. The European Union and other members of the international community have also condemned the killing. But all these condemnations have fallen short of including any sanctioning or punishment for a crime that threatens the essence of any free society, a free press. Shireen was killed trying to inform the world of what was happening in her country. The world now knows that in occupied Palestine, no one is safe from Israel's bullets, not even journalists. Jamal Al-Shayyal, Al Jazeera.
Veteran journalist Shireen Abu Akleh's body has just arrived outside Al Jazeera's headquarters in Ramallah. You can actually hear the crowd cheering and clapping. There looks to be thousands of people who have turned out to pay their respects. Her body had travelled from Jenin to Nablus and it's now in Ramallah. Nida Ibrahim is there for us in the occupied West Bank. Nida, describe the scenes there and the sense of emotion.
We've seen Shireen's colleagues, some of those who were with her when she was shot in the morning, arriving now. As we also can see from the picture now, the body is being taken out of the ambulance. So, and center here at this small room, the ground floor of Al Jazeera's offices, where her body will be laid, where we're expecting her colleagues, friends, family, loved ones to bid her the final farewell. Very difficult situation, seeing the colleagues.
I also will hear the crowds chanting slogans in defiance, saying that people will fight for Shireen, to see flowers being thrown on her body. Now the body is making its way to the room where
Nida, I'm just going to interrupt you there because it's quite difficult to hear you. What we're going to do is we're just going to listen in now because we're just going to watch what's happening. So just stay with us, Nida, but we just want to watch and hear what's happening now. For those of you just joining us, I'll just let you know what we're witnessing at the moment. Shireen Abu Akleh's body has just arrived at the Al Jazeera headquarters in Ramallah. Let's watch and listen. Those of you just tuning in, Shireen Abu Akleh's body has just arrived in Ramallah and been carried inside the Al Jazeera headquarters. There are hugely emotional scenes here as colleagues, friends, civilians watch on.
وَسُبْنَا فِي جَوَارِ الْمَسْجِدِ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ وَمَلِكْنَا وَإِلَّهَا مَنَا لو سمحت بس الباب عم بيوقعني خليه مسكر بيوقع.
Okay, we are seeing live pictures coming out of Ramallah now of colleagues, friends, strangers paying their respects to Shireen Abu Akleh. Her body has been transported from Jenin to Nablus and it's now in Ramallah. Let's just listen in a little further. We're just going to get a look at the scene outside the offices. I mean, the scenes, it's an ocean of a crowd, more or less. It looks like there are thousands of people who have turned out to pay their respects and to say goodbye to this beloved journalist, Shireen Abu Akleh. She was 51 years old. She's a household name, a veteran journalist who was shot and killed in the occupied West Bank. Extraordinary scenes outside the offices there as there's an outpouring of emotion. Let's listen back in. OK, let's head back inside now into the Al Jazeera offices where close friends, colleagues, strangers, civilians, everyone there trying to pay their respects to this well-known household name journalist. Let's have a listen. Thank you. For those of you just joining us, that is the body of veteran journalist Shireen Abu Akla. She is in Ramallah outside what was once her office, the Al Jazeera headquarters there. There are huge scenes, huge numbers of people there paying their respects to this journalist. Her body had been in Jenin. It travelled to Nablus, where huge crowds turned out, and now it's in Ramallah, where thousands of people are there to say goodbye. Just extraordinary scenes. Let's just have a little look now at where her body is and what people are doing. Okay, we will continue that coverage of Ramallah in just a moment. But in the meantime, let's head to outside Shireen's house where Stephanie Decker is standing by for us. Steph, the Israeli police were there earlier. Explain what's been happening.
Yeah, let me just refer back to those images that we were just watching. I was watching them on my phone, really incredibly poignant. You had the Al Jazeera bureau chief, Walid Al-Omari, there. Our colleagues, all the correspondents, cameramen, engineers. She was received, I believe, by a priest from what I could see there. Blessing. But, you know, to think that she left this morning in Jenin, calling in, telling her colleagues, I'm going to go cover the raid, and that her body has now been brought into the Ramallah bureau on a stretcher draped in the Palestinian flag. I could see a wreath of flowers, a lot of people outside our office in Ramallah paying respects, but certainly incredibly emotional and unbelievable images watching her body arrive there, I have to say. Coming back to here, we are outside the family home. You can hear some of the youth there, you know, saying that they're not afraid of the Israeli occupation, of the army, of the intelligence. You asked me about holding hands, that they're strong together. Sami is just translating for me. But you asked me about the police. We had three Israeli police officers arrive here about 2 hours ago, entering the family home, which obviously caused a lot of controversy here. They were followed by, you know, everyone here telling them to get out of the house, basically telling the family who was receiving mourners and condolences to switch off the music. There were speakers that were, this has done, they have left now. And since then, they've left completely. But certainly a move that, you know, at a time when the family's mourning. Shireen wasn't married, she doesn't have children, she has a brother. He's expected to arrive later today from Africa. Her sister-in-law is here in the house. Her niece is also expected to arrive tomorrow. Her body will be in Ramallah at the Mukata, where President Mahmoud Abbas will be paying his respects tomorrow. And then we expect the funeral to take place here in Beit Hanina in occupied East Jerusalem on Friday. But certainly, again, you know, just seeing her body carried like that into the offices and watching our colleagues, the bureau chief, stand around sobbing, incredulous. It's impossible to believe. I think people, everyone here, we're still in shock that this has actually happened.
Yes, Steph, that's what I was going to say. It must be surreal to see our colleagues draped over her body, the emotion of all of that. I mean, what did she mean to that office and what did she mean to the greater public?
Well, Al Jazeera and Al Jazeera Arabic in particular has been, a pioneer, really, when it comes to how they covered news when they first launched in the Arab world. And their correspondents are household names. In the Middle East, whether you like Al Jazeera or not, people watch Al Jazeera, particularly here in the occupied territories. They are constantly on the story when the international media has long moved on. Al Jazeera Arabic in particular will always be covering whether it's home demolitions, whether it's forced evictions, whether it's being in Gaza, whether it's being in the occupied West Bank and talking about settlement expansion, whether it's the continued removal of land, whether it is, as Shireen was doing this morning, the continued raids that the Israeli army carries out in the occupied West Bank. This morning there was an exchange of fire between Israeli army and Palestinian gunmen, and she'd sent an email to the office around 6 o'clock in the morning talking about a raid going on, that they were getting ready to go and cover it. And again, as we've been saying all day, these are household faces. She is extremely well loved by her colleagues. I didn't know her very well, but I remember her as always having a sort of kind and calm demeanor to her when we did cross each other. But certainly my colleagues in Ramallah, Nida, our correspondent, and Rania beside themselves, were extremely close to her. She was incredibly kind and hardworking. There's been tensions here for weeks on end. People have been working nonstop for weeks, covering, escalations back and forth. She was due to go on holiday, one of my colleagues just told me. So it is, it's still impossible to believe, really. I mean, those images, just watching them coming in, I was watching the live feedback on my phone, watching, the bureau chief, Walid, and I could see, Elias, a couple of our correspondents there, Najwan crying. I can't imagine being there and actually seeing her being carried on a stretcher draped in the Palestinian flag. And she is no more. It's a shock to all of us.
Steph, we're going to try and cross to Nida shortly, but in the meantime, I just wanted to get your thoughts as a journalist. Given what's happened to Shireen, do you think that this will deter journalists from doing their jobs in the region, or will it further add to their resolve to tell these stories?
No, I don't think this is going to stop people from doing their jobs. I think, in fact, it actually strengthens people's desires and the need to continue telling the story. This is, I have to say, unfortunately, nothing really new when it comes to Palestinian journalists. They have been killed in the past. I've covered funerals in the past in Gaza, in particular one Palestinian journalist who was killed during the border protests. And certainly there was not the international spotlight on that as there is now. Of course, Al Jazeera is a huge network. Qatar is an important player. This is also becoming, somewhat of a diplomatic incident. You've had the entire world react. You've just heard from the U.S. ambassador to the UN refer to it. You've had countries condemn it, calling for independent investigation. You've had ambassadors to Israel, the U.S. ambassador, the British ambassador, the UN special envoy to the Middle East peace process, all saying this needs to be investigated. I can tell you from my experience that the response from the Israeli officials is something that is unprecedented. We heard from the foreign minister. You've heard from the defense minister, Benny Gantz. You heard from Naftali Bennett, the prime minister, in the Knesset, addressing this directly, saying that there will be an investigation, initially saying that what the Israeli army thought was that potentially she had been hit by Palestinian gunmen during an exchange of fire in Jenin. You now have, according to one Israeli journalist with incredibly good, strong connections, quoting the Israeli chief of staff, saying that they can now no longer really tell which side fired, and that he regrets the death, and that an investigation team has been set up. We're trying to get this confirmed by the army, but this journalist has solid sources. But Palestinians will tell you that they don't trust any Israeli investigation when it comes to how they operate, because there is a history of excessive force that multiple NGOs and organizations have always accused it of. We've seen it ourselves covering the stories here on the ground. So what Shireen's death is highlighting is something that is not new, unfortunately. to a certain extent. It doesn't always end in death, but certainly injury, maiming, arrests. As you were hearing from my colleagues throughout the day, you know, also they're journalists covering the story, but they're also very much covering their own story.
Steph, you've covered this region for some time now. Do you think, I mean, and looking at those scenes that we've seen just in the last hour or so with thousands of people turning out, how do you think Palestinians will react in the coming days and weeks with particular dates of significance coming up on the 15th of May? Could Shireen's death be a tipping point in this tension?
I'm not going to predict that. I think, you know, the ground here, I can tell you one thing about this region is that anything can happen. What I can tell you is that certainly Shireen, her death is hugely symbolic. She's someone who's a household name to Palestinians who watch the news, and not just here, but across the Middle East, as someone who has continuously covered the Israeli occupation that many people will tell you has become normalized. You even have, you know, many Arab countries and states making deals with Israel. So many Palestinians will tell you that they feel somewhat abandoned when it comes to the governments of these countries. It's a situation that I think is highlighting, putting the spotlight back on the continued occupation that many Palestinians say has become normalized and is continuous. And it's almost like managing the occupation, many people will use that phrase. So what you see now is, again, a highlight of an issue that is daily, that is ongoing, perhaps not the death of journalists, but certainly the things that evolve on the ground. Palestinians will tell you there's very little pressure when it comes to the international community. Actually, I was here in 2014, which is the last time when you had peace talks or talking about peace talks. And you had the Secretary of State at that point in time, John Kerry, come here, I think, two or three times during the space of a week, shuttling between Ramallah and Jerusalem. At the time, it was Prime Minister Netanyahu who was in charge. But they didn't even get close to even scratching the surface of any potential peace talks that could lead to a Palestinian state, which, of course, what the Palestinians want is along 1967 lines, which is occupied East Jerusalem as its capital, the occupied West Bank and Gaza. And with the increase also of, you know, the situation at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, which is another issue that's been inflaming the ground, that's been inflaming rhetoric, it's simply, as Palestinians will tell you, an ongoing situation that very little international pressure recently has been applied to try and change.
All right, Steph, we appreciate you breaking it all down for us. Stephanie Decker, live for us in the occupied East Jerusalem outside Shireen's house.